The Tenebrae service begins on page 15. Psalm 4. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. And put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us.
You have put gladness in my heart. More than in the season that their grain and wine increased.
I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Psalm 15. He shall abide in your tabernacle. He shall dwell in your holy hill. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill?
He who walks uprightly and works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart.
He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor. Nor does he take a reproach against his friend.
In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own burden does not change.
He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. He shall abide in your tabernacle. He shall dwell in your holy hill. Psalm 16. My heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight.
Their soul shall be multiplied, who makes them after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips.
O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot.
The lights have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved.
Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope.
For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. My heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. A reading from the Lamentation of Jeremiah the prophet. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust, that there may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under one's feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the justice due a man, before the face of the Most High, or subvert a man in his cause, the Lord does not approve. Who is he who speaks, and it comes to pass, when the Lord has not commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? Why should a living man complain, a man, for the punishment of his sins? Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled. You have not pardoned. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain and not pitied us. You have covered yourself with a cloud that prayer should not pass through. You have made us an offscouring and refuse in the midst of the peoples. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare have come upon us, desolation and destruction. My eyes overflow with rivers of waters for the destruction of my people. How the gold has become dim. How changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold. How they are regarded as clay pots, the work of the hands of the potter. Even the jackals present their breasts to nurse their young, but the daughter of my people is cruel, like ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Look and behold our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to aliens and our houses to foreigners. We have become orphans and waifs. Our mothers are like widows. We pay for the water we drink and our wood comes at a price. They pursue at our heels. We labor and have no rest. We have given our hand to the Egyptians and the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers sinned and are no more. We bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is hot as an oven because of the fever of famine. They ravish the women in Zion, the maidens in the cities of Judah. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, return to the Lord your God. Hymn number 103, stanzas 1 through 3. The royal banners forward go, the cross shows forth redemption's flow, where he by whom our flesh was made, our ransom in his flesh has paid. Where deep for us the spear was dyed, life's torrent rushing from his side, to wash us in the precious flood, where flowed the water and the blood. fulfilled is all that David told in short prophetic song of old, that God the nation's king should be and reign in triumph from the tree. A reading from St. Paul, the Apostle's Epistle to the Hebrews. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Having buried our Lord, they sealed up the sepulcher, rolling a stone before the entrance of the sepulcher, placing soldiers to guard him. O tree of beauty, tree of light, O tree with royal purple dight, elect on whose triumphal breast those holy limbs should find their rest. On whose hard arms so widely flung, the weight of this world's ransom hung, the price of humankind to pay, hands for the spoiler of his prey. O cross, our one reliance hail, so may thy power with us avail, to give new virtue to the saint, and pardon to the penitent. To you, eternal three in one, let homage meet by all be done, by all you ransomed and restore. O guide and gladden evermore.
Our sermon text, Psalm 4, verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep,
For you alone will make me dwell in safety. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Tenebrae services are anticipated. That is, they're moved forward in time so we can celebrate them a bit earlier. We have a similar situation with, well, the Christmas midnight service is, well, at 11 p.m. The Easter Vigil is not at midnight, but begins at 7 on Saturday. And thus also today's Tenebrae service, it already has themes which anticipate what would be appropriate for Holy Saturday, which is the day that Christ rested in the grave, and we Christians find comfort even in the face of death. Now the apostles have quoted Psalm 16, verse 10, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption," saying that David, when he spoke those words, spoke of Jesus' Sabbath rest in the tomb, and not about his own death. In the same way, one of the committal prayers, which we use at the graveside, the pastor says this, "Almighty God, by the death of your Son Jesus, you destroyed death. By his rest in the tomb, you sanctified the graves of your saints. And by his glorious resurrection, you brought life and immortality to light, so that all who die in him abide in peace and hope." Yes, Jesus has sanctified the grave for us. Jesus made the grave a holy place, a clean place for our bodies now to rest for a while. He went through it so that it would not be our final resting place. The committal prayer says that we abide in peace and hope. Abide. The place that we abide is the place where we take up residency. We live there. We continue to be there. It's not just a stay for a night, but it's a permanence of place, that is, where we abide. So in the cry to God, found in today's Psalms, in fact, in 4, 15, and 16, they all speak of dwelling and abiding. Psalm 4:8, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Safety. So much of our modern lives speak of safety. There is security at the airport. There is security for your computer. Safety for children. David in Psalm 4 is not concerned about the where of our dwelling, just as long as we dwell in safety, knowing that the Lord will keep us safe. We can even lie down in our graves to sleep. We know that God will preserve and keep us, and on the last day He will raise those bodies up from the grave. Psalm 15, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill?" The tabernacle and the hill of the Lord are God's permanence, His place of dwelling. And so David is asking about a continual residency for us with God. The New Testament describes the church as true believers who are gathered around the Word and sacraments. We know that there are those in this world, yes, there are those who hang out with the believers, and yet they're not really a part of the church. Various parables teach us about this, saying that they will not abide in the Lord's house. The man without the wedding garment, well, he is thrown out where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The foolish virgins are not admitted to the wedding feast. So the question is, who may abide in God's tabernacle? Psalm 16 says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust." Those who trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins receive His perfect righteousness they will be saved. Those who trust in Christ show forth in their lives the fruits of Christ's righteousness. Just as Psalm 15 says, they will walk uprightly and do righteous works. Yes, they will speak truth in their heart concerning their confession of sins and believe in Christ. They will not backbite with their tongues, nor do evil to their neighbor. If he must swear an oath, he will keep it even to his own hurt. He will not charge evil usury to a friend in order to profit from his neighbor's calamity. And nevertheless, when he has done all of these things, he will say, just as Psalm 16 says, "You are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you." Somewhat related to the permanency of place, that is our residency, is the permanent possession of something. Lamentations 3, verse 24 says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him." And Psalm 16, verse 5 says, "O Lord, you are the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot." So God is my share or part, which I get to keep. Our Lord Jesus Christ had a testament and went into effect even with his death. And through faith in Christ, I'm a recipient of that inheritance, eternal life. Now, yes, everyone has their own cup to drink. My cup is the allotted life I have been given. And I wish my cup to be a long drink of Christ. Furthermore, God has maintained my lot. That is, he has secured it, and it will not pass away. The sting of death may make it appear as if the grave could rob us of life or somehow take away our desired permanency of life. However, the grave has lost its sting. Just as surely as Christ did not decay nor endure corruption, so the temporary nature of the grave will not rob me either. Psalm 16, verse 9 says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also will rest in hope." The body is simply resting in the grave. The body's taking a little Sabbath rest, but Christ will come with a shout and raise my body from the grave. Both body and soul will rise to life eternal in God's presence. Psalm 16, verse 11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And so today, the Lord has once again shown us the path of life. The lamentation readings, which have been appointed for our tenebrae service, have shown us repeatedly the afflictions and the punishments of sin. They have shown us the suffering which our Lord bore on the cross for us. They have warned us not to turn away from the Lord, lest we receive those very things. They have also shown us that even Christians, well, we too will receive a chastisement from the Lord so that we may be turned away from our sins. Nevertheless, even in Lamentations 3, verse 22, it says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Because of his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning." And Lamentation 3, 31 and 32, "For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies." So our sufferings and the grave are only temporary. It's the place where we live, though, is with Christ. We are united with him in our baptism. The place where we dwell is the house of the Lord, gather around his word and sacraments with other disciples. The place where we will abide is in the heavenly realms with a raised body and soul. And thus, the sentiments which are expressed in our Psalms concerning the grave are not temporary emotions, not simply sadness and gloom, but instead they also express for us a permanency, that is, that our portion and our appointed life, well, that we will receive is because of faith in Christ. So let me mention a few. Psalm 4:8, "You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep." Psalm 16, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel." Verse 9, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope." And finally, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand is pleasures forevermore. For those who find their dwelling, abiding, in God, there is peace, hope, joy and gladness, pleasures forevermore." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Page 18 has the Canticle of Ezekiel. "From the gate of the tomb, O Lord, deliver my soul. I said in the prime of my life, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years.
I said I shall not see Yahweh, the Lord, in the land of the living.
My life span is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent.
I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me out from the loom, from day until night you make an end of me.
I have considered until morning. Like a lion, so he breaks all my bones. From day until night, you make an end of me.
Like a crane or a swallow, so I chatter. I mourn like a dove.
My eyes fail from looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me.
What shall I say? He has so spoken to me, and he himself has gone against.
I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my life. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness. But you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. The living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. From the gate of the tomb, O Lord, deliver my soul. Psalm 150. All you that pass by the way, attend and see. If there be sorrow like unto my sorrow, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament.
Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness.
Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp.
Praise Him with the timbrel and brass. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes.
Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. All you that pass by the way, attend and see. If there be sorrow like unto my sorrow, page 20, the Canticle of Zechariah, we stand. The women sitting near the tomb mourned, weeping for the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David.
As He spoke by the of His holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us.
To our father Abraham, grant us that we, being delivered from our enemies, might serve Him without fear,
in holiness
and righteousness before Him, all the days of our life. Most High,
for You
prepare His ways,
to give knowledge of salvation
to His people,
in
the forgiveness of their sins,
through the mercy of our God, when the day shall
to them who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Our feet into the way of peace. The women sitting near the tomb mourned weeping for the Lord. Christ, for our sakes, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. That you may be justified in your words, and may overcome when you are judged. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. That you may be justified in your words, and may overcome when you are judged. Merciful God, Heavenly Father, who has removed from us the grievous burden of our sins, and placed it on your dear Son, our Savior, we humbly implore you to govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may comfort ourselves with his suffering and death in the face of all temptation. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.